So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Hallelujah. Well, go with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel. I'm going to go to two different places today, and Psalms 51:10, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. As you're turning there, one thing Pastor Steve failed to mention, he did in the early service, that the focus track, just throw it down, the focus track will be taking the place of our new members class. So the new members, we only do about three times a year. The focus track will be taking in members about every quarter, but you can join every month. All right, so, but we'll be having a dinner for you like every quarter or something like that. So we're excited about this, so praise God. I began a series about 22 years ago on detox. This is our seventh Sunday, but it feels like 20 years ago. I never dreamed that it would get the, I mean, anything that I preach, I do my best in prayer and research and so forth, so on, so that it may minister to people. And but it has. I've gotten so many reports and things of how it is changing lives. And but I believe that I'm down to the last two messages that I'm going to preach on detox. I'm going to give you part one of the last one this morning, and I'm going to finish it up on Wednesday night. You may say, Pastor, why are you doing it Wednesday night? Because they need it the most. No, I want to do it Wednesday night. And but we've been talking about it for a long time. And I really believe that these messages and sermons have truly been life-changing for some people. They have been life-changing. And, you know, remember that we're detoxing our soul, our mind, and our will, our emotions. And we spent time identifying toxic people. And last week we talked about three ways to deal with toxic relationships, which was to sever a toxic relationship, to manage it, and then third, believe God for a transformation of that. Now, someone come to me this week. I'd already had it planned to preach along these lines, but someone came to me after last Sunday's service, and they said, Pastor, what do you do if you're the toxic person? And so what you do the one that came to me had to leave before I got to point three last week. That's what happens when you don't stay the whole time. So last week, point three was when Jacob had to encounter God, where he had to go and wrestle with God until the Lord touched him and changed his walk, his talk, and his behavior. And that's what you have to do if you're the toxic one. And you may go, well, Pastor, how do I know that I'm toxic? Well, I'm going to talk to you about that, because I want to give you the title of today's message is just simply the number one toxic threat to your future. The number one toxic threat to your future. Psalms 51:10 says to us that, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. One translation says, create in me a detoxed heart and renew a right spirit within me. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup, and lay in his bosom, one translation said his bed, and it was like a daughter to him. I know people like that. They need therapy. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. One translation said that he was so mad he wanted to lynch him. And Nathan said to him, as the Lord lives, or he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And then verse 6 says, and he shall restore fourfold of the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And then Nathan said to David, you are the man. You are the man that's done this. Let me just say this to you, that whatever is done in the dark will shall become to the light. You're not fooling. And I would rather God deal with me in private than have to deal with me in public. And I would rather repent privately than to have to repent publicly. Hear me, church. Thus says the Lord of hosts, or the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you so much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord and did this evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house. And we know that happened. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel. Before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. You notice as soon as his sin was revealed, David immediately said, I've sinned. One of the problems we have in church today is we don't want to admit that we've sinned. That we don't want to admit that we have an issue. We don't want to admit that we're in trouble. We don't want to admit that we failed. But if you do not acknowledge it, if you do not understand, listen, eventually you may say, my youngest daughter said this one time. We were talking about a situation, and she was only about 13, and she said this. She said, Dad, and I knew this, but I needed to be reminded of it at the time, and I want to remind you. And she said, Dad, nobody gets away with anything. People might quit keeping score, but God is keeping score. My God, somebody hear me. Now, we recognize that this happened, and some of you might not know the story, so let me tell you about it. We understand that this happened because David was not where he was supposed to be. The Bible said that this is referring to the affair and then the murder that David had with Bathsheba. He saw Bathsheba bathing out on her porch, and as he was up there doing a little peepie and peekaboo and peeping Tom, and he seen her bathing, and he said, oh my goodness, check that out. I got to have me that. And then he began to get a plan together to destroy and to kill Uriah so that she would be widowed so that he could have her and not sin. But can I tell you, my wife says this all the time, there's no right way to do a wrong thing. I'm going to say it again. There's no right way to do a wrong thing. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And there's no way to do it right. Or somebody hear me. And so when David, the Bible said, at the times when the kings went to war, David stayed home. And at the time when David should have been at the battlefield, he was at home. And the time when some of us should be at the church house, we're at home. And when some of us should be on the battlefield, we lying down. And when some of us should be praying, we're not praying. We're not where we need to be, and therefore stuff happens because we didn't take care of business. So David was there, and he came across that Bathsheba.
and wanted her, lied with her, had a child with her that did not make it, all because he was not where he should have been. Now hear me. He repented, but the seeds were already sown. So you can't be upset when the seeds come back. When the seeds come back to roost at your home, you can't be mad at the soil or even the seed because it was you that planted it. The number one toxic threat to your future is not your boss. It is not your wife. It is not your husband. It is not your children. It is not a toxic co-worker. It is not a toxic friend. It's not even the devil. The number one threat to your future is a toxic you. My God, somebody hear me. The number one problem, the number one threat to your future is a toxic you. And if you're toxic, then we need to get you into the presence of God and let you repent and let you get right with God. Let God turn your inside out and upside down and cause to be healed, to touch you like he did Jacob in the hollow of his thigh. But listen, we want God to do all the work. Sometimes you've got to wrestle with God because your flesh doesn't want to give up what it is, and you got to wrestle with God until God touches you and say, God, I'm so tired of little popcorn prayers and God, a little dab of do you. Get into the presence of God and stay until God changes you. You can survive toxic friends. You can survive toxic work environments. You can even survive toxic family members. All of those are survival, but you are in trouble when you are toxic and you won't do anything about it. The person who has the greatest potential is poison your purpose and poison your destiny, poison your future is you. And if anybody knew this, David learned it. David had it all. He was king. He was blessed. He loved God. My God, somebody hear me. Be so careful when you recognize that you're being blessed by God when things are going right. Don't mess it up. Don't sow seeds that will come back to roost. Don't be so toxic. Listen, because I believe one of the things that happened to David is he began to listen to his own press. Yep. They sang songs about David. Yep. That Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And at the moment when they sang it, David had not killed his 10,000s. But somewhere along the line, he began to believe the press. Somewhere along the line, he began to think that he was all that in a bag of chips and some government cheese. That somewhere along the line, he began to think that yes, what they say about me is true. Listen, you gotta treat your accolades as you do your criticisms. That you gotta say not all of that is right, and not all of the criticism is right, not all of the accolades are right. You see, I get credit for stuff I didn't do, but I also get blamed for stuff I didn't do. So you gotta take the good with the bad, and you don't need to begin to believe your own press, because if you don't think, you'll start thinking that somebody owes you something and everybody owes you something and God owes me something. God don't owe you nothing. He's done everything that for you already. He's already given you life. He's already given you salvation. You got to recognize who you are and where you are and who God is. Somewhere along the line, David went toxic. Bathsheba, the bedroom, the battlefield, had Uriah murdered, lies, cover up. God called him and called him out through this parable of Nathan's. And I believe he began to cry out, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit with me. And let's face it, guys. Every one of us in this place have battled against a toxic heart. If you haven't, you will. All of us have battled against a toxic heart, getting upset, not understanding. We've all battled against it. But when we become toxic in our heart, we become the number one threat to our own future, to our own victory. So I'm going to give you a few toxic a few toxic 10 or 11 maybe that I'm not this morning, but I'm going to give you five this morning that this, you might be toxic. I'm going to go with a Jeff Foxworthy. You might be a redneck if. Well, you might be toxic if. Amen. I'll give you one. You might be a redneck if you go to family reunions to pick up women. But you might be toxic, number one, if you care too much about what others think. Now listen to me. If you care too much about what others think. Now there's some people, it's a terrible thing to live in the prison of somebody else's opinion. Now, the problem with some of us is we don't care what anybody thinks. I'm not saying that you don't care what anybody, no, but when you care too much. I know some folks who don't care too much. They go to Walmart all the time. They don't care what they look like. They don't care what people think. They go to Walmart in their pajamas. Some of them go in their underwear. Some of them go with no underwear. Nobody want to see all that. I got to eat. I'm not saying that you shouldn't care what other people think about you, especially the people who are mature, who love you, who know you, who have your best interest at heart. You need to believe, or you need to know, or want to know what they think about you. It's wise to seek their counsel. The Bible says that wisdom is found in the counsel of many, but I say that confusion is found in the counsel of too many. But wisdom is found in the counsel of many. But if you're not careful, you can forfeit your own happiness trying to make others happy. And God's not as concerned about your happiness as He is your holiness. Oh, help me somebody. You see, trying so hard to make other people happy. I know folks who live their lives trying to impress people and they're living it miserably. Because all they're trying to do is impress other people. Oh, come on, somebody. They're one way at church, another way at home. Oh, they're one way at church, another way on the job. They're one way in church and another way when they're not around people. But if they're around Christians, then they're one way. If they're around, they're chameleon. God didn't call us to be that. God called us to be holy. God called us to be the people of God no matter what situation we find ourselves in. You cannot care too much what other people think. Don't get so caught up in impressing other people. People will even to your detriment, your financial detriment. Because what happens if you buy things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't know and to impress people you don't even like? I don't understand that. Well, why'd you go in debt? Well, we had these people over for dinner and I had to impress them. They wasn't impressed. You might be toxic. It's hard to live up to somebody's idea, especially opinionated people. Anybody know any opinionated people? Anybody sitting next to somebody opinionated? Glory to God, be careful. I don't want to do marriage counseling later. Because opinion, hear me, opinion is a viewpoint that is debatable. That's all an opinion is. But God doesn't have an opinion. He has a truth. Right? God's opinion is not just a debatable view. God's opinion is truth. But most people's opinion is just a view that is debatable. Your happiness and your future should not be up for debate because God is not concerned. You know, I'm so tired. I'm so sick of hearing people, well, I just want to be happy. You think God don't want you happy? Well, I'll tell you, He really don't care if you're happy. He wants you holy. But here's what I know, that if you serve God holy, everything within you, you can't help but be happy. Matter of fact, it goes beyond happy. happiness, it goes to joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. Happiness deals with what happens to you, but joy is there no matter what's going through. You can be walking through the midst of hell and still have joy, because joy is from the Lord. Happiness is from people. Happiness is from this world, but joy comes from God. You got to be responsible for finding your own peace and joy in Jesus. Yeah, but we're Pentecostal. What we need is somebody to lay a shaky hand on us, on a shaky head, and impart peace and joy. Honey, when you get up and leave, it's going to be the same. You're still going to have to face it. My God, some of you have been prayed for so much, we done rubbed the hair off your head. Some of you have been anointed so much you're ready for the deep fryer. You got so much oil on you. My God, somebody, at some point in time, you got to do something yourself. You got to quit waiting for everybody to make you happy. Quit waiting for everybody. Quit waiting for God to make you happy. He's done given you everything that you need to have joy. He said, in me is the fullness of joy. When you get confident in God, you'll realize that the Almighty God is on your side. See, you're responsible. Here's what Jeremiah 17:7 says. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. You'll become confident in who you are in him when you realize who he is. Your net worth is connected to your own self-worth. Listen, you got to declare, I am loved by God. I am loved by God. Now, I didn't say God loves what you're doing. See, that's where we get messed up. We get messed up. Well, Jesus loves me. Mama loves you too, but mama don't like everything you do. Daddy loves you too, but he don't like everything you do. Jesus loves you more than mom and daddy does, but he don't like everything you do. And you can't be asking God for stuff when you ain't done your chores. Hey, listen to me, somebody. I didn't raise no spoiled children. You can't be doing, you ain't going to act any kind of way and me keep footing the bill for it. Can't get no help over there. I said, I'm not going to foot the bill, you live in my house and acting crazy up in my house and me still give you money. It ain't going to happen. Well, I'm grown. Then be grown. You grown, be grown. Get out on your own. Get on your own cell phone. Come, my God, somebody. Get on your own plan. Give me back the car I bought for you. Come on, somebody. You grown, but be grown then, my God. I am loved by God. I am created in his image. He is on my side if. See, some churches will tell you, God's on your side. Maybe he ain't. If you a heathen, God ain't on your side. He's on the side of you that he created. He's on the side of you trying to bring you back into the fold. But he is not on your side if you acting like a fool. Look at somebody and say, Pastor, ain't mad at nobody but the devil. If you obey his word, if you live the way he tells you to live, you can do it with confidence and have victory in him. You might be toxic. You just might be toxic if you care too much about what others think. You might be toxic if you spend too much time worrying over things that haven't even happened. So you might be toxic if you worry over things that haven't even happened. Worry is the most toxic emotion to your, as it relates to poisoning your joy. Some of you can't be excited. Some of you can't have joy because you're worrying about tomorrow. You're worrying about stuff that ain't even happened yet. You see, have you ever spent hours, days, and weeks, even more, worrying over things that haven't even happened? And then afterwards it didn't happen. But you spent all of that time and that energy and that anxiety worrying about what it could be. It's like your mind does everything it can to predict and prophesy a negative outcome. When you live your life in this toxic condition of worrying, you constantly go through every negative what if on the planet. My daddy was a man of God. He was a man of faith, but Lord, did he worry. Good gracious. We were in Krakow, Poland in Wieliczka salt mines. And the first time he'd ever been out of the country, he made a copy of, and there's nothing wrong with it, but he made a copy of his passport, gave it to my brother, said, if anything happens, come get me. All right, I don't have any problem with that. Then we get to Wieliczka salt mine. Well, first of all, we're flying over there, about a 10-hour flight. We're on the flight. He goes, oh, good Lord, Ronnie. What if this plane goes down? I said, oh, Lord, Daddy. It ain't going down unless God's through with me. If God's through with me and if it goes down, then I'm going to be with him. But if God ain't through with me, I'm going to make it over to Krakow. I'm all right. Then we get over to Krakow. We do some ministry there, and we had a couple of days to sightsee, and we went to the Wieliczka salt mines, which is a mile or two underneath the ground. And we're walking in there, and they have a row of lights that go all the way down, and we're walking down into this pit, and God and my daddy says, it was good Lord, son, what, could you find your way out of here if the electric goes off out in here? I said, I believe we'll be all right, Daddy. I believe I could find my way out. It's one straight shot back up where we came from. I think I'm good. We were walking, and of course we're in the cave, and these big beams of wood is holding up the cave. And he goes, good Lord, son, what if a fire happened down here? I was like, good Lord, Daddy. I said, we're all right. The salt, you know, we're good. He said, oh, good Lord, Ronnie. We walked a little further. Good Lord, Ronnie, do you think they have termites in Krakow, Poland? I was like, good Lord, Jesus, Daddy. I said, I turned to him and I said, Daddy, for a man of faith, you worry about everything, and for a man of faith, you ain't got any. And then, Lord have mercy, he found out I became a scuba diver. He said, good Lord, son, why would you want to tempt the Lord thy God? And then, good Lord, then I got it. Then I bought me a Harley. Oh, good Lord, Ronnie, you get killed out on that thing. Son, what if? What if? What if? So I turned the tables on him. We were sitting in his house. I said, oh, Lord, Daddy. I said, do you have propane? Oh, my God, to heat with? What if this thing just blew up? Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness, Daddy. I said, oh, Daddy. Oh. I said, Daddy, we're right over a flight pattern. There's a plane that could drop out of the sky and fall on our house. Oh, my God, Daddy, what are we going to do? Oh, Daddy, there are meteors that are just going around the earth. What if one of them drops down on us? You know it's happened. What if? What if? You got to get out of the what if. What if she leaves? What if he leaves? What if I lose my job? What if my kids act out? What if I get sick? What if the person hurts me? What if things go wrong? What if I have a wreck? What if the stock market crashes? If you live long enough, a lot of the what ifs will happen. However, people who always live in the what if of life are robbed every day of what's now. You can't enjoy what's now because of the what ifs. Oh, what if, what about what now? How about right now? How about enjoying right now? It's time to embrace what's now. You can have joy right now. You can have peace right now. You can have victory right now. You can have healing right now. You can have breakthrough right now. Get into the now of God. Is God good now? Get into the now. Come into the now. He has brought you to where you are now. Even if he had to take you to the valley of the shadow of death, you are where you are now. You better recognize where you are now. He is faithful now. He is good now. And he is forever good. Listen, child of God, victory's coming to you.
Yes, it is.
Victory's coming to you.
Yes.
Victory is coming to you.
Well, when will it come?
It's coming. How do you know it's coming? Because I know my God. You just keep doing what you know to do. You keep doing what God's called you to do, and victory's marching to your house.
Even when you go through seasons you don't understand, God will give you the victory now. You need to declare, instead of worrying over what has not yet happened, I will look forward in with faith and expectancy for the good things that God has in store for my life. Because God said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you, to give you a good end, not to give you destruction, not to give you hell. He said, I've got some good plans for you. So you know what? Listen, some of y'all need to hear what the Lord says to you. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me. We were over in that little old building over there. When we were over there, some of y'all remember that, Don, Vicky, Jane, some of y'all remember that. We was over in that old building over there, and I was coming in the side door one day, and God was growing the church, and things were going good, and we were growing. And I went to open the door, and I said, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our church. And I went to open it, and here's what the Lord said. He said, I'll continue to bless as long as you don't mess it up. Well, I didn't do nothing. Really? Maybe that's the problem. Maybe you should have done something when God said do it instead of do nothing. Oh, good gracious. You see, church, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. We have the victory. Some of y'all, look at your neighbor and tell them you've got victory. Now notify your face. Notify your face. Tell your face you've got victory. My Lord, it won't hurt you. Come on, get a little crack. Crack a smile. Because listen, church, worry, I didn't write this one down. I don't have this one on there, but listen. Worry is borrowing trouble you don't even have from your future. Worry is borrowing trouble from your future that you don't even have. Oh God, what's wrong, God? I'm just so worried. Anxiety, can I tell you, listen to me, anxiety is of the devil. My Lord, we've had so many altar calls for anxiety. For the children of God, some of you need to take a pill for your anxiety. Some of you need to get into the Word for your anxiety and declare, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. I'm not going to let the devil tell me where I can go and what I can do, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. However, praise is borrowing victory from your future that you know is on the way. You see, if you know Jesus, you know it's on the way. So I'm going to go ahead and praise you now, and you can bring it a little later, because I know it's coming. Boy, I feel like the little boy. I feel like the little boy that was playing third base. And he was the only one that was keeping the chatter up. Swing! Woo! And the boy, a man walked up, he goes, what's the score? He said, 37-0. He said, man, y'all are killing them. He goes, no, they got 37. Swing! He said, what you so excited about? He said, we ain't got up to bat yet. My God, somebody needs to hear me. You need to tell the devil, I ain't got up to bat yet. My turn to bat's coming. It might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, it might be next year, but I'm going to shout and glorify God. I'm going to praise Him now, because I know my time is coming. My time's on the way. Look at somebody and tell them, my time's on the way. You might be toxic number three if you take on everybody else's problem.
Well, Pastor,
the Lord says to bear up one another's burdens. And that is biblical. To bear up one another's burdens. But it doesn't say take on one another's problems. Because if you'll let him, if you'll let them, people will go and get all their problems, put them in a basket. Thank you very much. Right? Yeah. Woo. Lord, help me. Lord, thank you for bringing people to help me with my problems. Now, y'all deal with it. I'm going to go to the beach. You know I'm preaching truth right now. You deal with it. I'm going to. Y'all pray over my problem. I'm going to go to the bar. It goes back to obeying the word of God, the scriptures. Let me go a little bit further. You see, here's the problem. The problem with this is I'm wired to fix people. That's kind of arrogant, Pastor. No, it's just what it is. I want to help people. I want to fix people. I want to help them. Because I know how to fix most people. Pastor. Oh, I do. I don't know exactly, but I know how to fix people. See, it's not a cop-out. My God, help me hear me. It's not a cop-out. Pastor, I don't know what to do. I do. Just turn it over to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Let Jesus talk to you. Let Jesus tell you what to do. And I know how to fix some people. I was going through Burger King the other day. Little girl was there. She took my order. I'm tired. I come up to the window. It'd be 5:46. Close the window on me. Went and got my order. Gave me my order. Closed it again. And I put the car in drive. Nope. Put it back in park. Did I forget something? Yeah, you forgot several things. Let me help you here, honey. When you ask people for their money, look at them in the eye. And then when they give it to you, say thank you. Then when you give them your meal, tell them you have a nice day. If you want to move up, you're going to learn how to deal with people. Because I just paid 30 minutes of your salary with my order. Probably 45 minutes. So I had to help her. So I said, so you understand? I said, okay, you have a nice day. Yes, thank you. See, thank you goes a long way. Thank you. Oh, thank you. I said, you have a great day. I'm just wired to fix people. She better be glad I didn't have a clipboard with me. I'd have wrote down some stuff for her. The pastor, but my marriage is a wreck. All right, well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about your marriage. I don't like her anymore. All right, you're an idiot. That's part of the problem. That's why I let Steve do a lot of this now, you know. He's more compassionate than me. You're an idiot. I don't like you either. If I would have been her, I'd have kicked you to the curb a long time. Never mind. No. Reel it back in. All right. See, I can help most people. If you want me to be honest, I can help you. I had one lady tell me, Pastor, I can't make no friends. I said, because you mean. What do you mean? I said, you mean, you're ugly, you're nasty, you talk dirty, you talk filthy. No lady wants to be around that filth. Clean up your mouth.
Well, it's just the way I talk. If they don't talk, then they just won't be around me. I said, that's why they ain't around you.
See, listen to me. I'm not a scholar. I don't have a PhD, but I've got something called common sense. And common sense ain't that common. Well, I don't know why I got fired. Because you didn't do your job. All right. But here's a word for you. Are you ready? You cannot fix everybody, and God doesn't expect you to. Man, that set me free. You don't have to fix everybody. Because, you see, remember on a, how many's ever been on a flight, on an airplane? I'm not talking about you've been high. You've been on an airplane. All right, you've been on an airplane. How many remember this? The flight attendant gets up there. In the case that we lose cabin pressure, there will be a mask that drops down. Secure your own mask first before you ever help the person next to you. Even though the bag doesn't inflate, oxygen shall be flowing to you. Now, what I really want to penetrate to and concentrate on is that put on your own mask first. Put on your own mask first. See, because I watch people in life trying to fix and help everybody else, and they haven't even put on their own mask. And they got their own issue. And they're trying to tell people how to fix their marriage, and their marriage is a wreck. They trying to tell you how to live, and they living like the devil. Listen, my wife and I have been married 32 years. I promise you, when me and her was having trouble, you didn't hear me preaching on no marriage. I was preaching on how God would forgive murder. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on, somebody. Y'all know I'm taking the truth now. I had a guy. Let me make sure he ain't here this morning. Had a guy come to me. I mean, he's broke, busted, and disgusted all the time. Always looking for a handout. Always needing help. I done gave him financial counseling. Didn't do any of that. He wouldn't just always. And then he had the audacity to come up and said, Pastor, I want to get involved in church. I said, praise God, great, man. He goes, I feel like I want to teach a class. I go, what you going to teach on? He said, I'm going to teach a financial class. I said, no, you ain't. I mean, I can't stop you from teaching it in your living room, but your living room is going to fall through because you ain't got the money to fix it. It got big holes all up in your room. So until you get your own mask on and fix your own finances and let me see what you're doing, then you can might we'll talk about fixing other people. See, you got to understand, quit trying to fix other people when you got the same issue that they do. First and foremost, put on your own mask. Handle your own business. Woo! You can't fix your family. But you can fix you. Did you hear me? You can fix you. You can love people, you can advise them, but in the end, you can't fix them. First and foremost, you got to handle your own business. Don't take on other people's problems. Give them to Jesus. I learned this in Blountstown, Florida. And I was Randy Harmon, what was his wife's name? Linda, wasn't it Linda? There it is. How you doing if y'all watching? God bless y'all. Hope y'all still together. But I was trying to figure out what to do with Randy. I was over at the church and I was praying because Randy and Linda was a mess. I was praying. I was trying to see how I could fix them. And I just couldn't understand why Linda didn't kill Randy. And that wasn't the right moment to counsel her because I would have told her how to kill him and I would have helped her hide the body. So I knew I wasn't in a right frame of mind to counsel her. And I was at the end of my rope. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I didn't know what else to say because Randy was crazy. As a runover roach, he was crazy. But I hope he got better. I hope you got a good dose of Jesus. And so Randy was crazy, and I was praying, and here's what the Lord said to him. I said, Lord,
Lord, I don't know what to do, God. I don't know what to do. I just can't help Randy and Linda, God. Oh, God. And Randy, and the Lord said, shut up.
God ever talk to y'all that way? Y'all so good. See, man, God talked to me that way. God don't always come to me and, Ronnie, my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Oh, the pastor of the Crystal River Church of God. My son. Oh, come and lay your head on my breast. Oh, yes, Ronnie. No, sometimes I use, shut up! And he said, you can't help them. I went, well, praise God. Jesus can't even help them. All right. And here's what he said. You can't help them. You got to point them to me. You can't do no more for them. You got to point them to me. And people think, well, you're giving up on me. No, I've exhausted me. I've exhausted me. You ain't done nothing I've said, so I'm going to turn you over to Jesus. And you know, and Jesus, he's sweet, and Jesus loves you, but he'll whip your behind. Mm-hmm. So you can't fix everybody. And so the Lord told me just to turn them over to Jesus. And guess what? If he can't fix you, then surely I can't fix you. If he can't fix you, what am I trying to do? Fix you? Because I can't do it. You can't fix broken people, but that's what Jesus specializes in. I was broken, but he made me whole. You were broken, but he made you whole. Well, only Jesus can make a broken person whole. You might be toxic if number, wherever I'm at. Four, you spend a great deal of your life complaining. Oh, Jesus. Do you know any chronic complainers? Don't point at them. Everybody complains at some point in time in their life. But you become toxic when you allow yourself to be a chronic complainer. Things didn't go your way last year. You didn't get the job. You didn't get the girl. You didn't get the guy. You didn't get the house. You didn't get the promotion. You didn't hit the lotto. I've heard it said that everything happens for a reason. Well, can I tell you that some things don't happen for a reason? Some things don't happen for a reason. That's mercy. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, you ever saw somebody you was praying, Lord, I just claim them in the name of Jesus for my husband, Lord. I just claim them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just declare they're going to be my spouse. And then you see them a year later and you're like, thank you, Jesus. Woo! I had an old girlfriend used to pray that way about me. She'd be claiming. She'd see me. She was saying, I claim you. Then I seen her at my mama's funeral. She come waddling down the hall. Looked like a refrigerator with a head on it. She come down and my wife was right there. I just grabbed her and said, thank you. Thank you and Jesus. Hey, Lord, I'm glad you didn't hear her prayer. Lord, I'm glad you didn't make me marry that girl. Come on, somebody. Complaining changes nothing. Has anything ever changed because you complained about it? Some people will act like you are their personal complaint department. Sometimes you just got to go, psst. Psst. Hush it. I've had to do it. Sometimes I have to do it in church. Some of y'all think I'm mean. But let me tell y'all once more. When I'm getting ready to come up to church and to preach, I don't need you
coming telling me what's wrong. I don't need you to tell me what's wrong in your life, because I just might have a word for you from the Lord, but I can't give it to you now because you done told me everything. You don't know. Hush, wait till after service. Well, Pastor, you slip out. Well, that's because I'm too exhausted to talk to anybody. You need to tell some folks, I had somebody do it to me just the other day. Pastor, man, I was sitting right there. I was trying to, just getting ready to start service. The countdown on. Pastor, what? And she, right. So, I just walked away from it. Pastor, that's rude. No, it ain't. I can't deal with it. You don't want me to get up here preaching depressed. Some people act like you're their own personal complaint department. But all complaining does is frustrate you and the people who are connected to you. Complain means to grumble, to whine, to fuss, to find fault, to raise up a stink. And chronic complainers is too much. You defeat your own self and bring people around you down. Complaining is the language of defeat. Because that's the children of Israel. They complained about their circumstances. Because when you complain, you feel like you're powerless to change anything. So therefore, you'll just talk about it. And everybody complains sometimes. I complain sometimes. But you cannot be a chronic complainer. Because complainers are drainers. You ever get around people who just complain? I mean, you know, man, they like a... It's just a bucket mouth. Just they got like a fire hydrant. Just bleh. And you're like, oh, Jesus, shut up. Philippians 24:14 says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Complaining is toxic to your destiny. See, you need to go ahead and declare, I will not be ruled by toxic emotions. I believe that God is working all things for my good. And I turn my chronic complaining into continual praise. Last but certainly not least, you might be toxic if you focus too much on what you don't have rather than being thankful for what you do have. Well, I don't have what they have. So? You can always find somebody worse off than you. So often, if we're not careful, we'll get messed up over what we don't have. And I want you to hear this. I want you to hear it and see it. I got it on my next slide. To be upset over what you don't have is to waste what you do have. And so many of us are wasting what we do have because we're upset over what we don't have. Remember when the prophet came to the woman? Her sons had been sold or were going to be sold into slavery. And he came to her and said, what do you have in the house? He didn't say, what don't you have? Because he knew that. You didn't have any money. Well, we don't have any money. What do you have? You have love? You got health? Anybody ever been chronically ill, you know that health trumps almost everything. Come on, somebody. See, God has been good to us, y'all. God's been good to you. Nothing is more toxic in life and joy and purpose than you being unthankful. If my kids are unthankful, what makes them think I'm going to give them anything else? You're unthankful? All right. Bless God. If you want to stop the blessings of God in your life, quit being thankful for what He's already done. See, we become unthankful when we compare what we have and where we are to others. And that's a terrible way to live. Can I tell why some of you can't be blessed? Because you can't rejoice when somebody else is blessed. You're always judging everybody else when they get blessed. Well, I don't understand. I'm so sick of hearing this. Well, I don't know what I've done. I live like him. I don't know why. Had somebody tell me this just the other day. Well, you have a blessed life. Yes, I do. Let me tell you something. The more I live for Him, the more I conduct my affairs the way the Bible tells me to conduct them, the more I work the way he tells me to work, then I do have a blessed life because he is in every area of my life. See, the problem is you can't have a blessed life when you've only got God in your life at church. And that's why you can shout and huck a buck at church, but then be miserable when you ain't. Thankfulness is a big deal to God. Here's three things to be thankful for. You ready? Be thankful for where you are on the way to where you're going. Man, I thank God that I'm not where I want to be, but I ain't where I used to be. Come on, somebody. I'm not where I used to be. Thank God. Right now, I thank you, God, that I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I want to be, but God, I know that you have a plan for my life, and I'm going to give you glory and give you praise. Secondly, be thankful for what you have and reveal your trust in God by thanking him in advance for what's to come. See, I know God's good. And I'm going to thank him for what he's got coming down the pike for me. Why should God bring us anything new when we haven't thanked him for what he's already done? Number three, turn every blessing that he pours out over your life into praise. Oh, thank you, God, for everything you've done. Acknowledge him. Thank him. Psalms 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Listen, thanksgiving in the Hebrew is from a word named todah. Todah. Which means to be thankful and, what's my next one? To thank God in advance for what's to come. Basically, thank God on credit. God, it ain't here yet, but I thank you that it's on the way. Lord, I thank you for good health. I thank you for a good marriage. My marriage stinks. Thank you, Lord, for a good marriage. I don't know how you're going to fix it, but I know you will. Lord, I want you to start it by fixing me. Come on, somebody. Lord, I thank you. So we will bring a detoxifying todah to God. I thought about this morning. Praise him in everything. Pastor, I don't have anything to praise him over. Okay, let's walk it through. Let's walk it through. This morning at 5 o'clock, my alarm went off. I reached over and hit it so that it wouldn't wake up my wife. And I said, Lord. I woke up, you know, I sat on the side of the bed, and I literally did. I knew what I was preaching today. And I began to say, Lord, thank you that I woke up this morning. Lord, I don't know what kind of day that I'm going to face. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just a little self-confession. I don't know what happened to me in the early service. I was standing right there, and I don't know. I still can't articulate what happened to me. But I just felt an overwhelming. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I couldn't even articulate it. I had the church pray for me. But I still give him praise. I don't know, God, what you have for me today, but I'm going to give you praise because I know through it all you got this. I leaned over and I put my hand on my wife. Just rubbed her little fine self. And said, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for my wife. Lord, I thank you that she loves me. I thank you that she's blind because she still thinks I'm all that. Thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on, y'all. Then I got up. Lord, thank you. Y'all think I'm kidding? I got up and said, Lord, thank you that I could stand up straight today. And then I started walking toward the bathroom. Lord, thank you that today I can still walk. Then I went to the bathroom. Lord, thank you that I can go to the bathroom. Some people just wish they could go to the bathroom. I thank you that I can still go. Thank you for my kidneys. Thank you for my colon. Lord, thank you for everything still working the way it's supposed to work. Then I get out. I brush my tooth. I said, Lord, thank you. I still got a tooth. I thank you.
you that I can brush my teeth. I thank you, God, that I got electricity. I thank you for the water that's coming out of the sink. Then I jumped into the shower. I said, thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for a shower. Thank you for hot water. Thank you for electricity. Then I went to my house, went to my closet. I turned on my light. I said, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for electricity. I got my suit out. I said, thank you for the shirt. Thank you for my tie. Thank you for my suit. Thank you for my shoes. Thank you for my socks. Then I went out and got my car. Thank you for a car. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for heat, because it was cold this morning. Thank you, Lord. We got enough to praise him over. We got enough to be thankful for. Come on, stand to your feet. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Thank you for breath in my body. You're under the bossy. Then you come to church and say, thank you for salvation. Thank you that you filled me with the Holy Ghost. Thank you that I feel you this morning. Thank you that you love me this morning. Thank you that surely goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, 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 hey. Come on, can we just take about 30 seconds and give him some praise? Give him a todah. Give him a thanksgiving. Give him a thanksgiving praise for what he's already done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.